When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in a very happy Tuesday now, November the 5th, Election Day here in the United States. And we've got, some NFL football teams electing to get rid of maybe a little bit of dead weight and a whole bunch of NFL teams looking to bolster their rosters as the NFL trade deadline has now come and gone. And there are plenty of teams that made moves before the 4 o'clock Eastern time deadline here. We're going to go over a few and get you caught up with what's happening on that front. I'm Joe Ranieri here on the Sports Grid Network. We appreciate you stopping by as we also have the start of Maction football. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? A little Tuesday college football action, two games in the MAC, getting ready to kick off a little bit later. Of course, Bowling Green taking on the Chippewas of Central Michigan. That game, both of these games, in fact, looking by the spreads, I mean, we're talking about double digits here in both this game as well as the other one involving Miami of Ohio taking on Ball State. And Ball State, that game kicking off 8 o'clock Eastern time here. Ball State coming off a unbelievable win, an upset win at that, over Northern Illinois. You remember Northern Illinois, the team that ended up setting Notre Dame early in the season. Yeah, while Ball State, things were not looking good this season with them, and why would they? They're an atrocious team on so many different levels. However, they did muster a great game. Great effort against a much better and more experienced Northern Illinois team last week. Now they're welcoming in a red-hot Miami of Ohio Redhawks team who has won three straight, and they've scored no less than 30 points in each of those games. Interesting tidbit of information. We gave this out this morning on the early line, Ben Stevens and myself. We couldn't believe this trend, but it is a fact when it comes to midweek Maction football and double-digit favorites. Over the last decade, folks, those double-digit favorites are 65-9 straight up. They're also better than 62% against the number. So they have been a very good option to bet midweek, those double-digit favorites. They're double-digit favorites for a reason. That is an absurd number. In fact, just a year ago, in the opening week of Maction midweek football, those double-digit favorites went 6-0 straight up, 5-1 against the number. So it is a trend that seems in Maction football, and we always get craziness during the week when it comes to Maction football. It's part of the reason that we love having that midweek football out of this conference, because you really never know what's going to happen. But you kind of know what's going to happen when you have double-digit favorites, because over the last decade, 65-9 straight up tells us the double-digit favorites might not be a bad look here tonight. So that being also Bowling Green as well as Miami of Ohio. And keep in mind, both of those double-digit favorites are road favorites. Also, plenty of terrible weather being expected there in the mid-region, looking at 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts, in fact, with the Ball State game and Miami of Ohio. Not going to be any better, by the way, when it comes to the Bowling Green game. So a lot of running, and those teams that can run the ball will have a lot of success. Not sure a lot of teams are going to have great success throwing the ball here tonight, but those teams that can play some defense, those teams that can run the ball, should have plenty of success. Or maybe the better look across the board tonight are the unders in both of those games. The NBA tonight off for Election Day. They will resume tomorrow with a full slate. The NHL, not so much. They got a whole lot of games going on here tonight. 11, in fact, I believe, across the board. So the NHL coming off a night and very weird scheduling in the NHL this year. I don't know if you've noticed it. We go from having 2 games to 10 games to 1 game to 9 games. The whole scheduling is very weird in the NHL to start the season. 2 games last night, loaded slate across the board here tonight. So we will talk plenty of NHL hockey as we're approaching the first full month of the season in the books. Joe Madden will stop by. We'll get her thoughts on some of these games coming up here tonight with the puck dropping in just about an hour in many of them. But we had mentioned, of course, the trade deadline for the NFL. It has come, it is gone. A number of big names, in fact, have changed teams. Not something we're used to seeing all that much in the NFL. It's not like Major League Baseball or some other leagues where, like the NBA, where you could see big name guys trading uniforms mid-season. But we've already seen it, right? Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, a couple of big names. You know, we saw D-Hop last night also wearing a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. So we have seen already a whole lot of big movement with big names. And today was no different. And it all started, of course, with the Saints looking to restart here. And who can blame them, as the Saints have decided that it is time to move on from Marshawn Lattimore. And Washington was more than happy to take him off their hands. The All-Pro cornerback is now a Commander. And that is a massive move for a Commanders team who is pushing all in on this season. Let's face it, they're 7-2 right now. They're looking to contend. They're not looking for the future. They've got a lot of young pieces in that secondary. The thing that they lacked, of course, was that mainstay, that force in a cornerback spot, a shutdown corner. And Lattimore is going to go a long way into giving this Commanders and Dan Quinn, their head coach, a pretty good opportunity to, give Philadelphia a run for the money. And I say that because we're not really expecting the Dallas Cowboys to make a comeback. Are we? No? Okay, I didn't think so. So that is just one of the big names here. You got to love that, too, with Washington now. They've got their quarterback. They've got a new head coach. They've got new ownership. They've got new everything there. And we're also hearing rumors all week long that, in fact, they are pretty darn excited because players are telling their agents Washington is a destination that they want to go play at. We have not heard that since the Joe Gibbs era. Many, 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 many moons ago there, players wanting to go to Washington. Most players have tried to get the hell out of Washington under the former ownership group. But it looks like word is traveling, and it looks like the Commanders are a prime destination. Another big name, Mike Williams, wide receiver, formerly of the New York Jets, now a Pittsburgh Steeler, as they swapped a fifth round pick for the Jets. And the Jets, of course, have, Williams was only on a $1 million deal, a very affordable situation there for the Jets to get a fifth round pick or anything even remotely close to that for him, who had fallen out of favor with Aaron Rodgers since he can't run the right routes, not to mention Davante Adams in uniform, made him expendable. And the Jets, I think, did a pretty good job in getting a nice draft pick in turn for a receiver who they weren't going to re-sign anyway. What does it mean for the Steelers? How about Detroit and the move we heard? Plenty more to get to here as the trade date has come and gone, and we're just getting started here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Tuesday now, November the 5th. I'm Joe Ranieri, joined by Joe Madden, getting ready on this election day here in the States. Joe, we don't have any NBA, but boy, do we have some NHL action here. They're ramping back up. I believe 22 of the 32 teams in action here tonight. And let's start with your favorite team, the Toronto. Oh, I'm sorry. Did it count? No. Yeah, Toronto. I'm sorry. The Boston Bruins at the Toronto Maple Leafs dropping the puck here in little less than an hour. What are we thinking here? Back-to-back shutouts, I believe, against the Flyers and the Kraken over the weekend for the Bruins. Maybe they have figured some things out. They certainly gave their goalie enough money to try and do that. But what are we thinking about Toronto, I believe, at home in this one as well?
Toronto at home in this one should have home ice advantage, Joe, but you look at that price and then you start looking at how Boston has completely dominated the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you can't lay the juice here on Toronto. You've got to look at the Boston Bruins to be able to come out and do what they've always been doing, which is beating Toronto. They've won the last 8 meetings. 5 of those have been in that underdog role. People in the books just can't get behind Toronto, really, as an underdog. It rarely happens, and you're always paying overpriced value for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I'm going to look at the Boston Bruins here. I do think they can pull off the upset here on the road. And that being said, you're not getting as much value as you are getting earlier in the day. It was up to plus 130 earlier in the day, and that line is coming down. But this is going to be a competitive Atlantic divisional matchup between these two. I do think we have every opportunity of going to overtime. That's coming in at plus 380. So I'm going to take this to go to overtime. I'm also going to take the Bruins to pull it out and get the win. If you're looking for goal scorers here, William Nylander is so strong, and I do think he steps up with Matthews out of the lineup. He's coming in at plus 180 for the anytime goal for Toronto, and Brad Marchand coming out here at plus 270 for the Boston Bruins is my favorite prop bet of the night, Joe.
I'm laughing too here because you're right, Joe. As I'm seeing this here, Boston's won 8 straight regular season meetings of Toronto. When you talk about domination, you're not kidding. Boston has owned Toronto, even the playoffs aside, but you're also right. I mean, Marchand and Pastrnak have just owned the Maple Leafs in their careers, and that's not a bad price on Marchand for an anytime goal. I believe he's got, 20 goals and 54 points in 54 career games. There is a good chance he's going to be scoring here tonight in this game against them. I like the overtime goal as well. Talk to me here about the Senators taking on the Penguins here tonight in Pittsburgh for this one. How are you looking at it?
Which one? Okay, the Pittsburgh Penguins are playing the Islanders. The Senators are playing the Buffalo.
I'm sorry. No. Yeah. Go to the Penguins. I'm sorry. Not the Senators. Give me the Penguins and the Islanders. My bad.
Yeah,
in New York.
This is going to be an interesting one here in New York. Sorokin is confirmed in net for the Islanders, and we know how strong he has been this season, but I look at the Pittsburgh Penguins rolling in here. That value keeps going up, and you know I love backing the Dogs, especially when you've got Sidney Crosby playing so hot at the moment. I do think the Pittsburgh Penguins can roll in to New York and get the win tonight. Grab them plus the 114. Look at Sidney Crosby for his points in this matchup. I don't love the scheduling spot here for the Islanders. When we look at the scheduling spot, they're off the loss to the Rangers on Sunday. That was a 5-2. This is their first game home off a 3-game road trip. But Joe, it gets worse. I love fading teams off the road trip and teams, especially when they're headed right back out. And this team is headed right back out on Thursday versus the Ottawa Senators. So they've only got this one game here at home. For the Islanders, it's a perfect situation to fade them. You just can't lay that kind of juice on the Islanders at the moment either, because their kill, their PK is so week. It's only 65.2%. We look here at the power play of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It should be strong enough to take advantage of this week, PK. So I'm looking for the Pittsburgh Penguins to be able to come out strong on their power play opportunities and to be able to convert those goals. Now, I do like Sidney Crosby for the 2+ points, but you could also look at Michael Bunting here. He has been really strong when he comes out versus the Islanders. He's got an assist in the last three games versus them. If you can get his assist on your book or his point, I would look at that. And then that power play, you've got Malkin, you've got Crosby, you've got Carlson and Raquel. I'm looking at Carlson for the power play point tonight, Joe.
Any interest in the under? I know Sorokin is always good at home there. And actually, I mean, the goalie for Pittsburgh's actually been pretty good. 2 goals on 50 shots here in the last couple of games. The number was 6.5 at 6 now. Are you expecting Pittsburgh dominate? Islanders a little less, maybe a little less offense in this one?
Yeah, I would look at that lower scoring game. The problem is the Pittsburgh Penguins have been allowing those goals, but you said it. Their goaltender really has stepped up as of late, and Sorokin's been playing strong. So I think the Islanders offensively can be anemic in some of these games, and I expect this to be one of those games where we're not seeing a lot of goals out of them. So I would take this to the under way before I took it to the over, Joe.
All right, let's talk about Ottawa now, who is traveling to Buffalo to take on the Sabres, who are, look at that, now on a 3-game losing streak here. Not that they haven't been terrible, but they also just have not gotten enough goals in order to have enough offense, really, to be able to break this skid. Do they do it tonight at home against Ottawa and Ullmark?
You know, this is a hard one because I do have a lot of faith in both of these teams, Joe. I think both of these teams are going to surprise a lot of people and make it to the playoffs. It's just they've had a rough start to the season between the both. I'm looking here at Ullmark and I'm looking at his numbers when he faces Buffalo, and those career numbers are so strong that I do think the Ottawa Senators have the edge in this game because of that. Versus Buffalo, in his 5 career games, he's got a 1.82 goals against average with a save percentage of 945. When we look at Lankinen on the other side, he's got solid, decent numbers on the season, but versus the Ottawa Senators, that is where he has really struggled. That save percentage drops to 853, a 5.14 goals against average. So it's not pretty. It's a small sample size, though. Only 3 games versus the Ottawa Senators, but I do think the Sens will score on him tonight. I'm taking the Senators team total over 3.5. It's coming in at +130. Now, Buffalo could still win it. I could see it being a 5-4 win for Buffalo or a 5-4 win for the Ottawa Senators. I think we get the goals tonight.
Yeah, I like the over. I'm with you on that one. All right, we got plenty more NHL games to go over. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, joined again by Joe Madden, talking little bit of NHL here. Why? Well, 11 games on the slate will do that. The NHL just can't figure out the scheduling here. They give us 2 games. They give us 11 games. They'll give us 3 tomorrow. Then they'll give us another 11 on Thursday. We're all over the map with the NHL, but plenty of opportunities here as this season, we're a couple of weeks into the season here, Joe, and the brand new Utah Hockey Club on the road, taking on your Winnipeg Jets here. And Utah started off, what, 3-0? And now it feels like they're having a hard time stringing some wins together here. Never easy. I mean, it looks like Winnipeg is finally starting to hit their stride. 3 straight wins there. One of the best goalies in the NHL. What happens in this game?
Oh, well, you got to expect Winnipeg to be able to score those goals, right? This team is averaging just under 5 goals per game, highest shooting percentage in the whole league. This power play is converting 44.1% of the time. Not a strong enough kill here for Utah, and Utah finds himself in the box each and every single game for way too many minutes, Joe. They're averaging 11 minutes in the box per game. Utah was the Arizona Coyotes, for anyone who doesn't know this, and when you look at Winnipeg versus the Arizona Arizona Coyotes. The last time that team beat Winnipeg was back in 2021. So I can't put money on Utah in this situation because we know it is the same organization here, just with a different name. And yes, in a different arena, but I think Utah will struggle in this one. I'm taking their team total under 2.5 goals. That's coming in at minus 112. I think the Jets can win it. The problem here is when the Jets have won these games, they haven't really been blowing them out of the water. So they're sitting first in the Central, fourth in the Central for Utah. I don't want to hit that puck line. So I will fade Utah's team total. I think Mark Scheifele, you want to look at for the anytime goal. His anytime goal coming in at plus 185. He's had at least one goal in five of the last six games at home here for the Winnipeg Jets. This team's going to convert on the power play. They're going to get those goals on the board. If you just want to look at their team total to the over, you can do that as well. Vemelka is confirmed in goal here. For Utah, he's yet to record a win on the season, sitting 0-2 with a 3.04 goals against average. It's going to be the penalties that does it in tonight for Utah. So look at those power play points as well, Joe.
All right. Looking for some goals there. How about the Tampa Bay Lightning kind of limping into this game tonight? They've given up, I think, 12 goals in their last two games. They won't have, it looks like, Braden Point either. But St. Louis is missing a ton of dudes as well here. So I believe Vasilevskiy in goal here, Binnington for St. Louis. Boy, if this was like 4 years ago, this would be a hell of an under to bet. But I just don't know that we're getting there here tonight. What are you thinking?
And Joe, this is really interesting because if Andre Vasilevskiy gets the win tonight, he does make history. It will be the 300th win for him, which will be the most in the league for any goalie. I just don't see it, that win happening in St. Louis. I do think that storyline, it has to be back in Tampa on Thursday versus the Philadelphia Flyers. I think we'll see the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like you said, they're limping into this game. I think they get up in that first period, and we know the St. Louis Blues fight back and rally back. I'm going to take a couple of things, and yes, they're going against each other, but I see the storyline playing out this way. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning win the first period, cover the puck line in the first period. That's coming in at plus 150. I'm going to put a half unit bet currently on the St. Louis Blues to win the full game. That's coming in at plus 136. But then I'm going to save the other half unit for when the Tampa Bay Lightning go up in this one and put it back in on that money line, because we should probably get closer to 2-1 to our money alive, Joe. So I'm doing a couple of things with this. I do think the St. Louis Blues get the win with Binnington. I just think Andre Vasilevskiy, 300th win, it has to happen at home on Thursday.
Yeah, I like that too. And history certainly on the Lightning side here. They've won four of the last five. They scored four or more goals in or four wins against this Blues team. You would think tonight would be a good night for an offensive display here. I'm with you on this one. What about, though, the Kings coming in tonight off an impressive 3-0 win at Nashville last night, but they have certainly been inconsistent. They got Minnesota here tonight. How are you looking at this one?
Yeah, hard one here for the Kings on that second night of a back-to-back. This defense just isn't where I think it needs to be at to roll into Minnesota on the lack of rest and beat the Minnesota Wild. The Wild are too juiced on the money line, Joe. So I did one thing. I took Kaprizov for the anytime goal, parlayed that with the Wild straight up on the money line for beautiful plus money.
Sounds like cash to me, Joe. Appreciate it as always. Game Time Decisions will be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Tuesday now, November the 5th, Election Day here in the States, but plenty going on across the sports landscape here tonight while the NBA has the night off. Well, we've got plenty of college basketball still to talk about as the season kicked off last night. Plenty between men's and women's college hoops last night. I believe some 300 games across the country took center stage, and it all culminated last night with a couple of top 25 teams there, with Baylor taking on Gonzaga. And kudos to Baylor and Gonzaga, by the way, for actually scheduling that in the opening night of college basketball, usually we get these lopsided matchups in the first game to kick off the season, much like what we see in week zero of college football season, where there really isn't anybody taking any risks. It's usually a complete blowout city. But it was blowout city last night with Gonzaga. But kudos to Scott Drew and to the Baylor Bears and Mark Few there at Gonzaga actually scheduling that game. I hope College Hoops on opening night will do more of that in the future so we don't get as many of these, you know, 30, 40 point wins like we did last night. It seems like all the Blue Bloods had easy cupcake victories last night. And here's Baylor and Gonzaga at almost midnight on the East Coast getting ready to tip off in Spokane, Washington. And boy, oh boy, Baylor kind of got a wake-up call here. But Gonzaga certainly was a team that I had circled, and I know many of the pundits had circled. Too much experience. Even the transfers and some of the freshmen they brought in, Gonzaga is a very dangerous team again this year. Well worth keeping an eye on them moving forward. And as far as Baylor goes, they will be just fine because Scott Drew is actually one of the best coaches in college hoops. And he's got four of the very best guards in the country. And in college hoops, guards means everything, especially some good ones. And they have them there. They'll be just fine, Baylor. But tonight, we go from all of those games last night to having, I believe, eight games on the schedule here, including the Rice Owls at home taking on FIU Florida International. And Rice has a new head coach in Rob Lanier on the sidelines here. The problem is they also, with a new coach, only returned one starter from last season. They did get some transfers in, but a lot of mid-major transfers there. Nobody really moving the needle. Rice is in a rebuilding situation, while FIU returns nine seniors from that team a year ago. They play a very aggressive style of basketball. If you want to talk about full court press, it's full court press the entire game. And if you don't have quality guards or experienced guards, and Rice, like we just said, only has one returning starter from a year ago, a lot of new faces, FIU is going to be a matchup problem in this one here. I think a lot of turnovers are going to be there. Anytime early in the season, I get a team with that many returning players and upperclassmen at that, when you got nine seniors playing that kind of style, yes, I think that I think turnovers are coming. Easy buckets are coming. I'm shocked that we're getting six and a half points here with FIU. I definitely think this new look Rice team is going to have their hands full here in their home opener. I would take the points here with FIU in this one. I wouldn't even think about it. I'd just go ahead and get it done. We also have a couple of other interesting games coming up, including Bethune-Cookman taking on Texas Tech here. And boy, oh boy, new look here for Texas Tech as well. And anytime you have a spread in the 30s, which is what Texas Tech, I believe, is laying here. Last I checked, I believe it was 30 and a half, 31. It tells you everything you need to know about what the markets think of this matchup. But I like early in the season laying numbers like this. I won't do it by the time we get a month and a half in the season. But right now, I mean, with Texas Tech, they're, of course, their best, one of the best guards in the country, Pop Isaacs, has transferred to Creighton from Texas Tech. So did Joe Toussaint last year. But the Red Raiders are loaded this year. Grant McCaskill, who took over this Texas Tech program a couple of years ago in Lubbock. This is a team that is going to be looking to go to the dance for a little March Madness. It's their season opener. Bethune-Cookman, which is ranked 312th in KenPom entering this season, is not going to put up a lot of resistance. I can see the Red Raiders, who are a very physical team, They are not going to take their foot off the gas in front of the home crowd. They've got great three-point shooters on this team. This has got absolutely blowout written all over it. I would not be afraid to lay this number with Texas Tech, as I don't think Bethune-Cookman hits 50 points. That's how bad I think this one is going to be. Also, in a game that I bet earlier today, talked about it on the early line with Ben Stevens. Keep an eye on this BYU team. I really like this BYU team, who is starting a new era as their former coach, Mark Pope, is now the head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. And so now they bring in Kevin Young, who I like a lot here, leading BYU. John Shulman takes over Central Arkansas. Both of these teams, especially BYU, who usually when you get a coach that leaves like Mark Pope, well, then guess what happens? Most of the kids that he recruited on that team usually either follow suit or they hit the transfer portal these days and there's nothing left. Well, the cupboards are not bad in BYU. In fact, Mark Pope has left a very, very good team here in BYU. They've got a lottery pick and a big 18-year-old kid from Russia who actually played for Real Madrid in Europe last year. He's 18 years old. He is absolutely going to be drafted. He came to BYU. Cannon Catchings originally committed to Purdue, but instead enrolled at BYU instead. He has got quite the lineage. He's the nephew of WNBA and former University of Tennessee star Tamika Catchings. So basketball running in the family there. Not to mention a whole lot of weapons from a year ago that stayed there at BYU, which is going to give Coach Young an opportunity here to make some noise in the Big 12, the new home of BYU. Central Arkansas, new coach, new roster, very good shooters that they have in his team. They don't play a lick of defense, which is going to allow BYU to pretty much get any shot that they want. And if you guys understand BYU, they've never met a three they don't like to take. And I would imagine they're going to take a lot of them here tonight. I think both these teams will have some success offensively. I thought the number was low. 152 was the total. I love to go overs early in the season in games like this, where you've got young teams that are going to be more interested in scoring there rather than playing defense here. And I think that's what you're going to get from Central Arkansas. They got some great shooters on his team, including an Arkansas player of the year from high school, Ty Robinson. Expect points in this one. It was 152. I'm already seeing it up to 154. I think BYU will have no problem getting 85, maybe even 90 points in this game. I think this is an easy over tonight with Central Arkansas and BYU. So we've got plenty of NHL. We've got some college hoops, and we got much more to talk about in the NFL as the trade deadline is come and gone. What does it all mean? We'll talk about it next here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by on this Tuesday, and we had the final opportunity for NFL teams to bolster their roster and maybe cut bait with some loose cannons in the locker room. And I got to tell you, we saw a lot of big-time names over the last couple of weeks switching uniforms, something we're not used to seeing in the NFL. But I do think there are some clear winners and some clear losers from the trades that happened earlier today as we welcome in our good friend George Kurtz to the house here, talking some NFL. And of course, the trade deadline, George, has come and gone. And speaking of losers, let's talk about your Cowboys, if we could, because they seem to have been active today. For what reason, I have absolutely no idea, but they thought it was important maybe to add some wide receiver help. And they traded, I believe, with Carolina to get a wide receiver and gave up, I believe, a better draft pick than what they give up for Amari Cooper a year ago. But hey, it's Jerry. He obviously knows what he's doing. So what are your thoughts here on what you got from the Cowboys? Should they shut Dak down? Do they have a choice? Should Trey Lance play? What are we doing with the Cowboys here?
Cowboys are a mess. They're a complete mess. They're rudderless, right? They're absolutely, you don't know what they're going to do. What direction are they heading here? All right, you pick up Jonathan Mingo today. You give up a fourth round pick for him. are you kidding me? Jonathan Mingo, a guy who might have been released later this year. I mean, it made very little sense here. Jerry seems to forget or not understand that Dak does not make anybody better around him. So unless he has a top-notch wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Dez back in the day, he doesn't make anybody better. All right, so what is Mingo going to do for you? Yes, he's a bigger guy, a bigger target, but how does this help you? And certainly it's not going to help this year. All right, you're 3-5. You're playing Philadelphia Sunday. Anyone think Dallas playing beating Philadelphia? Right, then you play Houston on Monday night. All right, Houston played poorly. Maybe there's a shot there. I don't think so, but maybe a shot. Then you play Washington before you get a game on Thanksgiving that maybe you can win in the Giants here. But they're very likely to be 3-8, 4-7 at best. This season is toast. So now you tell me that Jonathan Mingo is going to be a guy you need for the future? Really? Really? Jonathan Mingo? No, I don't get it. Dak is going on IR here. I mean, even the problem with this, even if Trey Lance does play, and he probably should get some snaps, Joe, right? Some kind of smattering to see what you got here. Trade deadline passed today, right? So you can't trade him. You're going to try and trade him in the offseason? Is he even signed? You know, it's just, like I said, the Cowboys are a mess. Nothing makes sense of what they're doing. Jerry took the, you know, I'm all in, but yet he took the offseason off. And this is what you get, Jerry. You let all those good football players go. They all signed with everybody else but you. You didn't sign anyone. And then you wonder why you suck now. The season's lost for the Cowboys. They need to go in a completely different direction. McCarthy will be gone. Schottenheimer will be gone. Zimmer will be gone. But it won't matter because Jerry will not be gone.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, you know, it's ironic, too, because he spent all this time going back at folks who were going, well, you know, why would you pay Ezekiel Elliott, not Derrick Henry? What are you doing? And of course, now he decides to give up a fourth rounder. Now, granted, Mingo's 23, but if you can't be at the top of the depth chart on a Carolina team as a wide receiver, I'm not quite sure what he's going to do here with Dallas. But we did, of course, learn first thing this morning that the Lions, we knew they needed an edge rusher. You're not going to replace Aiden Hutchinson. We knew that. But talk about a reasonable price for an established guy in Za'Darius Smith from Cleveland. I thought this was another great move by the Lions, who continue to be well run from the top down. And I can't even believe I'm saying that, George.
It is weird to say the Lions are, and probably in my mind, the best team in the NFL. Not just the NFC, the NFL. Right? You did add Za'Darius Smith today, a little extra pass rush there. I don't think Hutchinson's coming back. All right, so I think they needed this here. Now, we knew this trade has been in the works, by the way, for about 2 weeks. We've been hearing about this for a while there. Originally, they might go get Myles Garrett. Are they going to get this guy? No, we're never going to get a top-notch guy. Those guys don't come loose here, Max Crosby. But Za'Darius Smith was being dangled by Cleveland. It's a lot of speculation. They would go to Detroit. They get the job done. I love this deal for Detroit. Love it. Actually, I kind of like it for Cleveland as well here. You get something for a player you weren't going to keep here, an older veteran here, fine. But for Detroit, I think it's exactly what they need here, a pass rush. We know how important that is in the playoffs here. So good for Detroit. And boy, if they make it, it'll be weird. It'll be weird to see the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl.
I got to tell you, the Saints they fired Dennis Allen, which was long overdue. Now they got rid of Marshawn Lattimore, and kudos to the Commanders for pushing all in at 7-2 on the season. And what is a very winnable NFC East here, because I'm not sold. Obviously, we talked Dallas. I'm not sold on Philadelphia. The Commanders, very young in the secondary. Lattimore is going to slot right in and make this team better. But it does appear that the Derek Carr, Cameron Jordans, Kamara's, and the Saints, yeah, it's going to be a new era there, George. It's time for a rebuild. They should have done it when Peyton left, but they kept trying to hold on. But I think that time has come and gone, and they know it, and it wouldn't shock me now if the tank is on with New Orleans. But great move for Washington.
Good move on both parts, right? Saints get a nice hole there. Saints are in salary cap hell, by the way. Ooh. They have a lot of contracts. They're well over the cap next year, no matter how much they raise this thing. And a lot of people speculate they don't know how they're going to get under it. Little surprise, Joe, that they just re-signed Kamara a couple of weeks ago. Right? I thought he might have to go too in a purge. So it is what it is. This should be a bad team for a couple of years. I don't think Carr will be back there either. I don't think they can afford Carr. I don't think it matters anymore. They're going to have to go with the rookie quarterback there. As for Washington, you already said it. They needed cornerback help. Lattimore may not be the player he once was. And by the way, I can guarantee you that Mike Evans is happy he's out of that division, right? As him and Lattimore didn't really get along all that well. But he's still a good cornerback, helps Washington out here. I think Washington Philadelphia still have to play each other two more times. That's very likely to decide who will win the NFC East. As you're sort of speculating there, Philadelphia seems to win despite themselves or despite Sirianni and his coaching methods here. So we'll see. Good for Washington as a Cowboy fan. Certainly not good, as now the Commanders are a problem for 10 years. They found their quarterback, and now maybe they found a cornerback for this season to help them in the playoff run.
Yeah, a very weird trade, too, but I like it, involving the Steelers. They made a couple of moves here. We'll talk about that one as more NFL talk coming up here in the trade deadline as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside George Kurtz. As George, we've got a couple other moves here today in the NFL. One was head-scratching. No, I didn't see it coming, but the Packers, and you don't see this often, right? The Packers traded their starting defensive end, Preston Smith, to the Steelers. Now, he ain't starting in Pittsburgh with T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith there, but it cost him a seventh-round pick, and that's an interesting move both for the Green Bay Packers and the Steelers, given the fact that he's under contract through 2026. That's a big cap hit for them, even though they only give up a seventh rounder. They also got Mike Williams from the Jets for next to nothing, but the fact that the Jets got anything for a guy that was only $1 million wide receiver that they weren't going to sign next year anyway, I think is a win for the Jets. But suddenly the Steelers are getting some depth across the board. Do you like the move?
You know, I don't love the move for Williams. I mean, I know people, I've just never been a huge fan of him, right? He is a deep play threat. Russell Wilson does throw a really good deep ball, so maybe that'll help. They needed somebody there. So I don't think it's a bad move here, but I don't think it's going to break the bank. I think out of all the receivers that have moved, outside of Jonathan Mingo, mind you, out of all the others, I mean, he's like the least one I would have wanted, right? Deontay Johnson. All right, Steelers weren't going to go back down that well. Cooper, Hopkins, I would have rather paid up for those guys if you're going to go get a wide receiver. So that's my only thing there, is that I just don't think he's a guy who's going to move the needle. Plus, you know, once again, first year back from ACL could be a little rough here. Preston Smith, I thought was really interesting. Why did Green Bay want to get rid of him so much? All right? Weird for a playoff team, mm-hmm. You know, defensive end or a linebacker, depending on which way you're looking at it, where he's going to play. So I found Preston Smith being moved, just like I said, just strange. I didn't see that one coming.
No, but a starting defensive end for a pretty good defensive team, it didn't make it's interesting. And he's going to go be a backup and basically provide depth for Pittsburgh. And it looks like, if this was 5 years ago, we'd be talking more about it. But the fact that Tre'Davious White is now off to the Ravens, who also we know traded for Deontay Johnson, but now they had to go and get some sort of help from the Rams in Tre'Davious White, who hasn't played since week 4. But Baltimore is so terrible defending the pass, they need any help they can get here, Kurtz. And unfortunately, the injuries with Tre'Davious White, he's a shell of what he was with Buffalo. But again, you need depth, and Baltimore went out and got it.
I think you already said it, right? Baltimore needed somebody, bodies, anyone who can possibly cover anyone. They have a tough time against the pass. They're playing shootouts almost every week. When Bo Nix is lighting you up, you got a problem. You got a problem, you got to fix it there. The Rams, I mean, I guess you said he hasn't played since week 4. Wasn't really working out for them because the Rams could win that division, by the way, the NFC West. That division is wide open. I wouldn't be surprised if any of the 4 teams won there. San Fran and their health issues. Arizona, granted, they haven't beaten anybody, but they're winning football games. Seattle probably not going to win the division there. And then the Rams with a healthy cup. If Nakua's not trying to knock people out, that offense is almost as good as anybody's in football. So I'm a little surprised they would do that, but they just must not have seen white in their plans.
I don't remember Cards having this many. I mean, when you look at the AFC alone, think about the trades and the big name guys that we have seen over the last month. Aaron Rodgers gets Devontae Adams. Josh Allen gets Amari Cooper. Lamar gets Deontay Johnson. Mahomes gets DeAndre Hopkins. Burrow gets another running back in Khalil Herbert earlier today. And now Russell gets Mike. Well, that's a lot of big names in the AFC that got traded over the last month. I don't remember a season where we were talking about that many high profile, especially wide receivers, switching uniforms during the season.
I think it's a great point. Almost like, you know, it's a domino effect. Oh, they added someone. Okay, now we got to add someone. It's today's football, right, Joe? Throw the football. Put the ball in the air. All right. I think for the Bengals that we found out a couple hours after their trade for Herbert that, Morse was out for the year. So they had to get somebody to replace that. All right. They were trying to keep that under wraps, even though we pretty much knew something was up there. So they needed the depth there. But his other receiver move, I think every team was answering another. Right? Kansas City needed Hopkins. He had a great game last night. Pittsburgh had to get a wide receiver. We knew that. Baltimore, okay, let's see what they get at Deontay Johnson. He goes back to the north there. We knew Buffalo needed somebody, right? So a lot of these did make sense. These teams actually probably should have addressed this during the offseason. They waited until the deadline. We're seeing a new thing of a deadline. The NFL trade deadline now is becoming something. It's not the NBA, NHL, or MLB yet, but it's certainly a lot better than what it was.
I agree. And then, of course, there's the Cowboys, and we just scratch our heads trying to figure out what the heck they're doing. All right, George Kurtz, always a pleasure to see you here, my man. Loaded slate in the NHL tonight. Enjoy the puck time and game time decisions back for another hour after this year on the grid.